Shed Some Light, episode 241, coming to you on a Thursday. Michael and Jack are back. We've let some time pass. Time was necessary. There was some healing time.
No.
Some.
I'm still depressed.
Yeah, but there was some healing time.
There was time.
Grieving time. Reflection time. Mourning time.
I don't know if I said it to you. I think this is genuinely the only Notre Dame loss, for me at least, that has gotten worse over time.
2005 Bush push?
No. Because I was 8 when that happened.
This is up there with that as like one of the most painful Notre Dame losses in my lifetime.
Yeah, but so the reason that I say it's got worse over time is like the Bush push, like that was the first like heart-wrenching defeat that I can like remember. But again, I was 8, so like I got over it within like an hour. You know, 2012 national title sucks. You give it like 12 hours, you're like, we just didn't match up well with that team.
That game wasn't even close.
Yeah, like we just didn't match up well. They were way better than us. It is what it is. I have gotten more depressed since Saturday about this game.
My opening statement in the thought that I will die by is the fact that, sure, Ohio State scored more points than Notre Dame this past Saturday, but there is not a single molecule of my body that truly believes Ohio State was the better football team.
I agree. 1,000%. And that's the reason that it sucks.
Yeah.
Because, and I told you this before the podcast started, that this game on set this past Saturday was more depressing than the 2012 national title game. Because, I'll be the first one to, hand up, be like, that team was better than us. Like, they beat us, that team was better, I'm okay with that. This was not that case. This was, we were the better team. We were for 98, 99% of that game, and we fucking lost. And it is the biggest kick in the nuts of all time.
I wouldn't even put the percentages that high because there was a point Ohio State was up 10-0. At that point, previous Notre Dame teams would have just folded.
Sure.
That would have been the game right there.
Was it 10-0 or 10-3?
It was 10-0.
Yeah.
Was a point that it was 10-0.
Yeah, true. And this kind of gets into my first thing about the refs being fucking horrendous. There was a clear holding on Cam Hart on that play that wasn't called that led to a touchdown. I don't really understand how that wasn't called. I don't understand how the Sam Hartman first down scramble on fourth down was reversed. There was not indisputable evidence. Ohio State, and again, one of those things where you can call holding on every play. There were blatant plays where like should have been a sack, where like a Notre Dame defender just got like fucking tackled, and they were just like, yeah, whatever. Like I don't. How the fuck do we have no refs that are on our side?
Yeah. I mean, I'm.
And I'm not saying that like they called like completely one-sided. There were definite calls that went towards Notre Dame for sure. However, like there were very, very blatant missed calls that cost us large opportunities.
When it comes to my overall feelings about the game, the refs at this point don't even really cross my mind, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound like I'm blaming them, but like again, there were definite missed calls that led to big things, like the holding.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw the video of it. Like, Cam Hart doesn't get held. He tackles that guy on the outside edge. Or at least slows him down enough to get other people there.
Number 70 on their offensive line had to have started on 30 to 40% of the snaps that he was out there.
Dude, I mean, yeah, like I said, like there's a blatant missed call with no pass interference. Like, they just seemed to, like, any review that happened went Ohio State's way. Like, it's just, there was a lot of things that I was like, again, I'm not blaming the refs, but there are a lot of things that were like, this doesn't really make a lot of sense, how that gets called, doesn't called, overturned, etc.
And not only officiating calls, because like I said, that is what it is. It's not. I definitely don't think that Notre Dame lost because of the refs.
No,
but
no,
it
no.
just it just felt like every single break in the game that was a coin flip type of play just went Ohio State, Ohio State, Ohio State, Ohio State. Like everything that could have gone, almost everything that could have gone their way went their way.
I would go as far as say everything. What do you think that was a coin flip went our way? Genuinely. I don't remember a 50-50 call that went our way.
No, I'm not even saying calls.
I'm saying
like DJ Brown's interception at the end of the game that just went straight through his hands. Yeah.
The like the Kyle McCord sack, just fucking chuck it up in the air, deflects off three people, and the Ohio State guy catches it.
They almost had a pick in like the third or fourth quarter.
Sure.
That they didn't come down with. Yeah, I mean,
it really wasn't much that went our way.
The entire last
4 minutes.
4 minutes of the game.
Let's get into that, because that's really the kind of the meat and potatoes of everything. Right? So huge fourth down stop. Fourth and one. Again, I got a lot of things to say about Ryan Day. Him talking about how tough their team is. Pretty ironic talking about how tough your team is and running a pussy fucking jet sweep on fourth and one. Want to talk about how tough your team is? Fucking run the ball up the middle.
I'll like tip my cap to the rest of Ohio State. I think two words come to mind to perfectly describe Ryan Day, and that's a classless asshole.
Yeah, yeah, he's a giant dickhead, and I hate the fact that like, if I want Notre Dame to get into the playoffs, I have to root for Ohio State the rest of the year. Unless there's, like, a massive collapse within the Big Ten. And, like, all the top teams lose multiple games, which I don't see happening.
I don't know. This year's kind of crazy.
Sure. But that also kind of fucks Notre Dame at the same time.
There's a lot of football left to play.
Agreed. Agreed. I just think it's extremely hard for Notre Dame to make the playoffs.
I don't.
We'll get back to that after we're done talking about this game, because I would like for you to explain to me the scenario in which Notre Dame does.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. We're talking about the end of the game. 4 minutes left. Let's start. We get the ball. Fourth down stop. We get the ball. First play, 11-yard pass, first down.
Mm-hmm.
Second play.
Which was huge, because didn't we get the ball at like the 10-yard line or something?
Yep.
Like you needed to get some space between you and the end zone.
Second play, Audric Estime 11-yard run. It's the last time Audric Estime touched the field. What in fucking God's green earth are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know why Audric.
That was the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. That should have been his ball three times in a row after that. Why the fuck are we pulling Audric Estime after he gets an 11-yard run and there is 2.5 minutes on the clock and we have a first down? Why? What is Gerald Parker thinking? I genuinely don't know that. That pissed me the fuck off. That he didn't come back on the field.
Yeah. I agree.
You seem very hesitant to not shit on Jared Parker.
It was definitely a questionable decision.
It was the most questionable decision, and it shouldn't have been a questionable decision.
Right. I agree. There is plenty of more questionable decisions, and another coach that I think deserves more shitting on than
Al Golden.
Nope, different Al.
Washington. Oh,
three fucking D linemen, two plays in a row.
Okay,
it's your job, dude. You're the one that they pay the money to.
Okay, so then this is okay. Basically, Notre Dame doesn't convert that first down.
Mm-hmm.
Punt the ball. Give it back to him. Get a false start on that fucking punt, too, which was just ridiculous to have in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
The whole coaching staff deserves the most amount of getting shit on I've ever seen. From Marcus Freeman down to the fucking managers to whoever. Like, I've I have sung Marcus Freeman's praises. You lost us that game. From the top down, that was not lost on the field. That was lost from the top down. And that falls on him. And I know he took all the blame, and I love him for it. It is what it is. We move on, we go. But that comes from you. It's the same thing where, like, I think somebody tweeted it was like, because we'll get to the 10 men on the field for the last two plays. Marcus Freeman isn't in charge of substitutions, but he is in charge of putting the system in place for substitutions.
Yeah.
So that ultimately falls on him fucking that up.
Yes, I agree. But if you think in the grand scheme of things of all of the responsibilities of a head coach at a very high collegiate level, if your assistants down to your GAs can't count to 11, like, I get Marcus Freeman is the one that's falling on the sword. That's just not his sword to fall on. I think he's handled it in a very professional manner in a way that, like, he very easily could have placed the blame elsewhere, which I think would have kind of just divided the locker room and caused a lot of unnecessary turmoil. Count to 11, people. It's really not that hard.
Does your opinion change that we had 10 men on the field versus Tennessee State as well? So yeah. this mistake has happened before this season?
Was it another D lineman that we were missing, or was it a...
They had the ball at the 30-yard line, and they almost do a 30-yard touchdown pass, but they just kind of, like, they fucked it up.
I mean, I'm really trying to take, like, confirmation bias out of this because I don't like Al Washington to begin with.
But I don't think Al Washington is... I think it's more on Al Golden than Washington. Al Golden's calling the play. He is the one that is telling how many D linemen go out there.
But if you just, like, you have to trickle it down to
the position group
of,
yeah,
your weakest link.
Sure. But also, like, in the terms of, like, the substitution game and everything, like, Al Washington's calling a play, right? That play is relayed then down to the sideline. Everybody hears that play. Those players should know to go in and out.
I agree. And when it comes to the play call, sorry, I'm choking over here. We're in a nickel package on the 1 yard line. What?
So I think it actually stems more from the 3rd and 19 pass.
Well, that was you can't, like, on their last drive they converted a 3rd and 7, a 4th down, and a 3rd and 19.
The 3rd and 19 from the, like, 27 or whatever the fuck it was, wherever they were. We looked like we were defending a Hail Mary.
Yeah. At that point, I wish they would have just scored on that pass.
Yeah.
So that Notre Dame could have gotten the ball back with time on the clock.
Like, the defensive setup on the 3rd and 19, that arguably may have been the stupidest play of the entire game. That dude, fucking Kyle McCord, threw a 27-yard pass and nobody was around him on 3rd and 19. How in fucking God's green earth is that possible?
Again, I need someone. I'm still hung up on the... I need someone with more football knowledge than me to explain why we have 5 defensive backs out there on the 1 yard line. Why are we in a nickel package?
And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Ohio State subbed on the last play of the game.
They did.
Which means we got a sub as well.
Correct.
Okay, so then, again, that is why it's Freeman's fault. Because no matter what... No matter who the fuck counted, no matter what happened, you have to know. You're the head coach. Right? It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Especially if they're subbing,
mm-hmm.
you should have counted.
Yeah.
That is your job. That is why at the end of the day it falls on Freeman. I still love him. I still believe in him. But that is an inexcusable mistake to make.
Agreed.
Fucking
Notre Dame needs.
I also do want to make this very clear. I saw a lot of people on Twitter being like, "He's fucking down. His knee was down." I don't want to resort to that.
Okay. I agree with you. Going off of social media commentary and stuff like that, it was hilarious, my Twitter timeline post-game. The amount of tweets that I saw that was like, oh yeah, like Brian Kelly was clearly the problem, blah, blah, blah. Dude, that game would have been like 42-6.
We would have lost by like 50 if that was Brian Kelly. Who fucking unfollow whoever the fuck on your timeline that's defending Brian Kelly out here?
It was because I was on the, like, the for you, like, suggested tweets as opposed to
block,
my following.
Block them, whoever the fuck that was. Those people are idiots.
Yeah.
Remember the last time we played Ohio State with, or any good team with Brian Kelly? We got fucking smoked by all of them.
I will say, do we have more about the game that you want to touch on specifically?
I think that's the first game where it almost felt like years passed in a sense, where I was like, that game was, in my opinion, 90% coaching and play calling rather than talent on the field.
It was 90% coaching and play calling because Notre Dame is finally at the point where the talent gap is matched.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so we lost that game due to coaching, not due to talent.
And that, I'm like, obviously it sucks, but I'm more okay with that than the fact of like talking a big game, having College game day show up, and then getting your doors blown off.
Sure. Sure.
The gap is being closed. It's just.
But like at the same time, the reason that I'm so mad about it is we talked about it last year on this podcast with the Clemson game, where you compared it to the Dabo Sweeney game, like the coming out party.
Yeah.
That's the fucking, you beat Ohio State at home after playing them close at Ohio State. That is your like, what's up, motherfuckers? I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame just needs to figure out or learn or remember how to win these types of games.
Yeah. And that's why I think, again, kind of moving on from the game, you'll know exactly what type of team you have the first quarter of the Duke game.
Oh, 100%.
If they come out sluggish as fuck, you're going to be like, all right, we're done. Like, season's over. Like, they're mailing it in. If you come out pissed off and you just shitbag Duke, I'm like ready to ride for this team.
I really hope that they come out with the Drew Tranquil mentality of, I feel bad for any other team that has to play us the rest of the year. Because if that's the case, my confidence level is back through the roof.
Sky high.
If it's like a 7-3 first quarter and we don't look good, I think we're going to go 10-2, 9-3.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. Just because at that point, we're going to have enough talent to out-talent the teams that we should win.
Mm-hmm.
Before we look ahead and stuff like that, I just want to give a shout out to everyone in charge of game day stuff at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That atmosphere that was created this past Saturday night, from the LED wristbands that were given out to the Jumbotron to the light show to the fire that we had shooting out of the tunnel when the players ran out, that was, I just got goosebumps talking about it. That was the greatest football, Notre Dame football atmosphere that I have ever been a part of in my life.
Maybe it's because we beat Clemson, but I still, like, not the theatrics of it, but the actual, like, people in the stadium, I liked the Clemson game last year better. And it's probably because we won, so I have a better, like, taste in my mouth because of it. But, like, I just think that, like, the atmosphere of, like, people actually in the stadium versus Clemson was way better.
But I
do agree with you, like, the theatrics and all that is, like, part of it.
I don't remember Notre Dame Stadium being that loud. Like, it was loud for Clemson. It was, like, I had a headache in the fourth quarter.
Deafening.
Loud.
Deafening.
Against Ohio State. It was phenomenal. There was Ohio State fans in front of me that I thought were douchebags. We had some nice friendly chirps going back and forth to each other. I've never been more proud to be in that sort of an atmosphere where not only the, like, our section that I was sitting in, but the entire stadium was just standing the entire game. No one was tapping you on your shoulder saying, hey, can you sit down? I have a child with me.
Fuck off.
Like,
no, I agree with that.
Phenomenal.
I agree with that.
Moving on, let's take care of business against Duke.
Yeah, like I said, you're gonna know what team you got in the first quarter.
We're just all of a sudden in the stretch of a four night game series now. Ohio State night game, Duke night game, Louisville night game, USC night game.
And so this is, it's also like, that sucks because I don't like playing four night games in a row. I do and don't. Like, it's cool, but also like, fucking, come on. But it's also funny because it tells all the people that like, Notre Dame's not relevant, fucking Notre Dame stinks. Really? We're in prime time 4 weeks in a row. What's up, motherfuckers? Tell me another team that does that. Oh, what, Alabama? Yeah, so you're putting us in the same category as Alabama? Thank you very much.
Did you see when Marcus Freeman was notified that Louisville was a night game? He was like, are you
fucking kidding me? It's like, fucking for real?
I thought that was pretty funny.
That gif is so funny because it's like a 10-second video, but it's him being like, Louisville's, he's like biting his lip, and he's like, fuck. No, yeah. I mean, just depressed. I'm still like, I'm the worst part about it is I think I'm still seeing shit on my Twitter feed about it. Like, oh, yeah. and it's not like I'll look at the timestamp of it, and it's not like
old stuff two
days ago. It's like 52 minutes ago, and I'm like, fucking, why am I keep seeing this? Like, I'm just getting more depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still love the team. Sam Hartman, you're still hot. Jared Parker, figure it the fuck out. Bad game. I'll let you get one.
We'll be good. 11-1, here we come. College football playoffs, here we come.
Okay, so I saw this the other day too. So obviously way too early. We're five games into the season.
Yeah.
I saw that there's a bowl projection that we play LSU in a bowl game.
I saw that.
I'm not kidding you, and I said this today, and I will genuinely believe this. If we play LSU in a bowl game and we beat LSU in a bowl game, I will have the same joy in my heart that I would for winning a national title.
Especially if it's a New Year's Six bowl.
Dude, I will fucking shit my pants if Notre Dame beats LSU in a bowl game. Like I'm not kidding. I will feel like the level of joy that will be in my heart.
I thought you were about to say, I'm not kidding. I'll actually shit my pants.
I will. I'll poop myself right there. But the level of joy that I'll feel like in my heart will be equivalent to winning a national title.
Yeah. I can't go that far. It'll feel good.
It'd be the best thing in the entire world.
It'll feel good. It's not a national title.
It's not, but it would be pretty fucking close to it.
Yep. What else college football-wise? Colorado got their doors blown off.
Dude, did you see the video that Oregon released?
Yeah.
I never want to hear shit from Colorado football ever again. Never. Literally zero times do I want to hear shit from them.
Hey, talk about...
Colorado had people saying, I'll beat the fuck out of you and your coaches, and they got their fucking doors blown off.
Talk about
creating
an electric game day atmosphere. The Oregon Duck comes out in the prime necklace and smashes a clock.
Get fucked.
I mean, I know his head fell off, but like,
get fucked.
Elite.
Also, did you see the dude that said, I'll beat the fuck out of you and your coaches? Was Shiloh Sanders. And then he also got fucking hit so hard they think he may have like lacerated his kidney and he was pissing blood at the end of the game. So like, again, I'm not wishing it upon anybody. Kind of fucking asked for it.
Yep.
Kind of fucking asked for it. And I get that, like, obviously that is from the Oregon side of things. So like, that Oregon video made it look like Colorado was the only team shit talking.
Could you hear me itching my hand?
Yeah. Which I know isn't true. Like, there was definitely shit talk.
Yeah.
From Colorado or right, from right, Oregon right. For sure. But half the time of like the legit clip of like no cuts, no nothing of like filming a Colorado play and be like, I'll beat the fuck out of you guys. And then just going right back to the Oregon people and the coaches are just like, they don't deserve your attention, is the most baller shit of all time.
Agreed.
And then the fact that they released a 5-minute video just being like, here's all the shit talk Colorado did, here's how we just mushroom stamp them, is the funniest thing in the entire world. And I'm so glad that it finally fucking happened. It was long fucking overdue.
I don't know the rest of Colorado's schedule, but like I called it at the
beginning. They play USC this week.
I said Colorado's going to go 6-6. I got a little nervous when they got off to that hot of a start. They're good. They're not anything special.
100%. They play. I'm pretty sure they play USC this week.
I might change my prediction. 7-5. That's because like, I'm on the hype train, baby.
Fucking whoop the fuck out of anybody in there. But let me fucking. I almost want them to do well enough for Notre Dame to play them in a bowl game. I'd love to play fucking Colorado in a bowl game. Shitbag them too. Those Colorado LSU would be my two favorite bowl games.
I really don't even care about Colorado. I just don't think that they deserve.
I don't care
people's attention.
That's the thing. I don't care about them. I hate the fact that they're getting shoved down my throat. They were getting shoved down my throat every week. Yeah, like it was like oh fucking Colorado beat Nebraska. Look what Deion said. Look at fucking this. Look at that. Big win over Colorado State. No, it wasn't. You went into double overtime. Like, I was sick of hearing about how fucking good Colorado is left and right. And then it was like, oh, you play a good team? Let's see how good you are. Turns out, not very good.
Yep.
Not very good one bit, actually. Like, just absolutely got shitbagged. So, good riddance. Fucking hopefully USC just dicks you this weekend, too.
Trying to think. Anything else college football-wise you want to touch on?
No. Wasn't too crazy of a weekend, I feel like.
Yeah. The Bears still haven't won a game.
Do they stink? But Taylor Swift was at the game.
Yep.
That was the highlight of the Bears game. Like, genuinely.
Yeah, it's at the point where it's like, bring your famous girlfriend to the game because you know we're going to just blow up out the other team and I'm going to have a good game.
Yeah. Like, you want me to pad some stats?
Yeah. Come see us when we play the Bears.
Dude, also, Travis Kelce, 69 receiving yards. Come on now, baby.
I saw a picture on my Twitter timeline that post-game, he was in a...
Oh, yeah, like a pajama suit?
No. It was him and Taylor Swift in like a 60s convertible just driving down the street together. He took the license plate off the car. Like, there was... He was just cruising post game.
Did you see the video of what people being like Taylor got brought out in a
popcorn thing?
Bro. You could give me, I think, all the fame and the wealth of Taylor Swift. I wouldn't take it. Dude, if I got to go to football games in a fucking popcorn dispenser shit, like just to get in and out of the suite that I'm in, I don't want to do that shit. Like, bro, you can't go anywhere. That's got to be so annoying. Like, she can't leave her house.
Yeah.
She can't just be like, I'm going to run down to the gas station real quick. She couldn't do that. I do that a lot. I like doing that. I enjoy doing that.
As I've said on past episodes, gas station convenience stores are some of my favorite stores.
Bro, she can't do that. That sucks. I'm telling you, it'd be... Don't get me wrong. Would having billions of dollars be awesome? Sure. Would I trade billions of dollars for not being able to go out in public anymore? No.
Yeah.
But shout out to Travis Kelce and the highlight of the Bears game being Taylor Swift. Dude, you know what I've also come to the conclusion of? And it makes me even more out on Luke Getsy, our offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Any offensive coordinator... Or defensive coordinator for that, you know, whatever.
For that matter.
Matter. If you are on the sideline, I don't trust you.
Oh, you like the box guy?
Yes. Bro, you can't see fuck all from the sideline. You need to be like calling a Madden play.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to see the field. You can't see the field from the sideline. Trust me, I've been down there. Like, you can see, like, fucking half of it. And then, especially when the play starts, like, if you're looking far side of the end zone or whatever, far side of the field, and the offensive line's blocking, you're not seeing shit over there.
Here's what I
propose. How the fuck are you calling a play if you can't see shit?
Can we get the coordinators in the end zones? That way, at least
but you can up see. Top.
No. On the field.
No.
You can at least see left and right.
If my offensive or defensive coordinator... Is Al Golden on the sideline? I think he is. Fuck.
Oof.
It fucking shit play call on 3rd and 19. That's probably why he couldn't fucking see the field. Fucking get in the box. Get in the box, you motherfucker. I'm telling you, you have to be up in the box.
So myself and the people are asking Caleb Williams to the Bears next year?
I saw Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. First four picks. We get the Panthers pick.
We could take both of them?
Yeah. So we get the Panthers first-round pick this year, and they're probably going to finish last anyways. Like, they're going to be shit, too.
Oh, so we need to finish second to last.
No. It doesn't matter. So, like, we still have our pick this year.
Okay.
And then we also have the Panthers first-round pick.
Mm.
And they're dog shit anyways.
Oh,
okay. So we need them to suck, and then we also need us to suck.
Nice.
And then we get, like, the first two of the first four picks.
Watch it be typical Bears fashion that they pick, like, a D lineman and
a punter.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Speaking of kickers, Notre Dame's kicker. You're 3 of 7 at this point now, I think, Spencer Schrader. Kickoffs, elite. I appreciate you kicking it out of the back of the end zone. Make some field goals.
You were high on this kid before the season.
I was. I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
3 to 7.
Sucks.
Come on.
Back to the Bears. I did see a mock draft where we get Joe Alt. I'll take that.
Ooh.
Run a motherfucker over.
Yep.
Okay, but this is... And hear me out on this with the Bears, because whenever I say this to somebody, they're like, you're an idiot, and then I explain it, and they're like, you're kind of right about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have said this on the podcast last week. They're just trying to do the same shit that they did with Mitchell Trubisky, with Justin Fields. Like, you're just trying to fit a fucking square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, they're trying
to mold Justin Fields to the system instead of molding the system to Justin Fields.
Why don't we go with the Bengals' approach of things?
The Bengals aren't any better. They're 1-2.
Yeah, well...
Barely better.
The year that they made the Super Bowl, it was Joe Burrow and a bunch of weapons and a terrible offensive line. Let's just not put Band-Aids on bullet holes and get Justin Fields some crazy weapons.
So we get two of the top picks next year. We take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
And who else?
The next best running back. The best running back.
Audrey Guesame?
Boom.
Fuck it.
You go Marvin Harrison Jr., DJ Moore. I don't know if Chase
Claypool is going to be
around. Darnell Mooney.
I feel like I forget that Equanimeous is still on that team.
Bring him in every once in a while.
Cole Kmet.
Keep Cole Kmet.
We better keep him. We just signed him to a 5-year deal.
And then you just let Justin kind of run around because the offensive line has... as many holes as Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how the fuck we haven't, like, we don't run play action for some reason. Ever.
Again, another problem that I had with Notre Dame this week.
There was no play action.
No play action.
Also, again, I love Sam Hartman. Whatever fucking play that you called on that second down or whatever the fuck it was, first down maybe, when there's 2.5 minutes left in the game, never fucking pull that ball unless there are 80 yards of green grass in front of you, brother.
Well, the pull, I think, was strictly so that there wasn't any sort of botch with the handoff.
Okay, but there shouldn't have been a botch because he shouldn't even thought about pulling that ball. I don't give a fuck if you are running into the entire defensive line. Hand that goddamn ball off and keep fucking going.
We're really jumping back and forth here. just
we could do a play-by-play breakdown of that last 4 minutes of the game, and fucking 90% of it would just be us shitting on Notre Dame.
The White Sox continue to lose.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's changing there. So, go Braves.
And the Colts won.
Fuck you. Genuinely fuck you.
Well,
I think this is it. I think I'm going to deem you not allowed to come back.
I just did an entire, like, 10 minutes on the Bears. Mm-mm. I made one comment that the Colts won. That was all. I didn't go into any sort of breakdown. That was it.
Dude, you know the, what is it, the Happy Feet clip? Where it's like, don't push me because I am close to, that's you. And I'm about to push you over the edge. You're fucking walking on thin ice, buddy. You're wearing a blue shirt right now, too, and a Colts blue. It's not a fucking Bears blue. It's a Colts blue. I'll push you over the edge, I swear to God.
My shirt is black and blue like my heart. Taking a beating this past
like my
week.
Entire fucking life. I mean,
all right, that is where we are wrapping up.
Whoa,
wait, do you
I got
dumb
some
thoughts?
Dumb thoughts. Yeah, oh. I got a couple of them. I got two. You okay. Got any?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
I got two. Well, I got one that was just like something I heard the other day. One that's actually a dumb thought. So I was listening to the radio the other day. It's 2023, by the way. Still listening to the radio.
Yeah,
whatever.
Me too.
And they had a segment called Then or Now, Then versus Now, right?
Okay.
And this was the funniest segment I've ever heard in my entire life. So they had somebody call up and play this game, Then versus Now.
Okay.
So they would give them a grocery store item, and then they would say, here's the price. Was this from 2013? Or 2023. And the one that stuck out
people
to me was...
People got this wrong?
No. Nobody got it wrong.
Oh.
Because it was fucking hilarious. And it was like, then versus now, a pound of steaks, $3.13. Was this from 2013 or 2023? It's like, are we fucking serious right now? Yeah. $3.13 for a pound of steaks? What the fuck are we talking about? Of course it's from 2013.
Okay. I mean, that's a little bit harder than what I was expecting.
Dude, if you went to the store right now and ordered a pound of steaks,
how much
you think?
I understand that. I thought it was like, you know, the milk was $2.29 or $4.57. Like,
no. It was like
the price for the year.
It was like very obvious shit.
Yeah.
It was like there was like a clear discrepancy as to like where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like if you went to go buy some like plastic cups at the store, was it $4? When was that? Was it 2013? It was like how much could you get for a half pound of turkey, was it 25 cents or $70?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I know, you know, like it was so clearly obvious as to like when it was from. And I was like, I respect that. Just make it as easy as possible. Everybody wants to win.
I honestly can't tell you the last time that I went to the grocery store and spent under probably $130.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Fuck the grocery store. Also, love the grocery store.
No, I love the grocery store. Fuck inflation and all the price hikes.
The government? All right, my last one. I would like to get your thought on this. I think this might be like a revolutionary idea. I'm not kidding.
Bold claim, okay.
So the only thing that could fuck me on this would be... carry-on luggage. I think I've figured out a way to make planes way more comfortable.
All right.
So, normally in a row, there are three seats that all are, like, up and down.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bunk beds. So, you're still the same row, but then you just get to lay down the entire flight. No matter where it is.
You're stacking three bunk beds?
I think you could. You're not getting a ton of room, but I think you could.
I don't know if you can get three. It's a pretty good idea. I honestly thought what you were going to say.
I think you could stack three and then have one like giant aisle in the middle.
I thought you were going to say stagger the seats. So you went almost like half the leg room that you would have between normal aisles, but it would actually increase because you would have a row of two and then a row of one and then a row of two and then a row of one. So you technically had two aisles worth of leg room due to the alternating seat situation.
Or just put a couch there instead of three seats. I mean, you're gambling because of who you're sitting next to. But, like, I'd rather sit on a couch than a seat.
There's got to be a way to just make airplanes more comfortable.
I think footrests. I think that's the biggest thing. I got to have a way to, like, kick back without being a dickhead. Because I'm so team, like, I'm never going to kick my seat back.
What if we just...
We had a seven-hour flight to Ireland. I fucking sat straight up and down the entire time.
Oh, the person in front of me on the way home was right in my lap.
The person on the way there and on the way home were fucking directly in my lap.
What if we just... You pay a little bit extra, but they're, all of the seats are like first-class seats.
Kind of takes away from first class, no?
Well, yeah, but you just make a full plane of that. So instead of your round trip being $300, you pay $450, but you got like the extra wide seat with more reclining room for the entire plane.
Well, I'd probably pay $300 for not that.
To just sit in a regular airplane seat?
Yeah.
Why? You just said we're trying to make airplanes more comfortable.
Yeah, but like... If you have to make it more wide, there's going to be less people on the airplane.
Yep.
If you stack them like bunk beds, still keep the same amount of people.
I don't think we're getting a triple bunk.
I think you could.
No.
It would be like the little pod hotels in Japan.
Yeah.
I would take a triple bunk bed.
You're like Emmett in the Lego movie, the double-decker couch.
Yes, dude. Hey, fucking exactly.
Don't you see the people's feet?
Sure, but, like, dude, I'm laying down anyways. Like, and also, like, you're telling me, like, if you had a triple, like, it doesn't matter how small the bed is. Like, you're telling me you're not falling asleep immediately when that plane takes off? No shot. Right? Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, your feet could hang out into the aisle a little bit. The only thing that would, like, fuck me in this situation is, like, insanely tall people.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, do you scrunch up your knees? Or do you just, like, are you tripping people left and right in the aisle?
That's a them problem, not an us problem.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think the fucking bunk bed idea could work.
Your bottom bunk has to be, like, on the ground.
That's fine. Those are reserved for the kids. Or fat people, dude. Fat people could ruin my shit too.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Fat people trying to get up in a fucking... They can pay extra for first class. The first class seats can stay the same. The fucking rest of us can bunk it up in the back. But like, would you not rather have a bunk bed than a seat?
There's not many times that I would rather be in a seat as opposed to a bed.
Fucking, that is exactly what I'm saying. Like, I think, I genuinely believe this. I think there's a way that if you told me that, like, the back of a plane could fit, like, 70 people, I think there's a way you could fit 70 beds back there.
I don't know.
I'm an idiot too. So like, engineer. I'm definitely stupid. So like, this is a dumb idea that like in my brain it works, but like logistically it probably doesn't. But in my head, beds are way more comfy than seats.
Yeah.
Or just give me like a standing pod, like a fucking a coffin, basically. It's the same thing as a seat, dude. I just don't want to sit for very long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Eventually, if you got standing coffins and then you tipped them all back like 45 degrees, and everybody agrees to tipping back, he'd be chilling it, dude. I'm telling you, this could work. The more I think about it, the more it could work.
I don't know. We need an engineer.
The bed plane. If this becomes a thing in the next 5 years, fuck you, whoever stole this from me. But
shed
also
some light, episode 241.
But also thank you, because it's a genius idea, and I would love to travel that way.
All right. Well, anything else for the people?
I think that's it.
That is where we are wrapping up this episode of Shed Some Light. We will be back sometime next week. We'll be recapping the Notre Dame Duke game, the Bears. Who do they play?
Dude, they play the Broncos, who got fucking 70 points put up on them.
And the Bears are underdogs.
Yeah, that, dude, that's the most disrespectful shit of all time.
And you mean to tell me that we need to keep rooting for this team?
I'm not saying that, like, dude, it's what we do. You can't just abandon ship on a team. I'm not saying that you have to keep rooting for them, but I know that I hope you know that I'm fucking about to kick you into the well, like in the fucking 300. Like, you're fucking getting... This is Sparta'd into the fucking well.
We'll see.
Never coming back if you fucking... I hope you know that.
Wrapping up, Shed Some Light 241. We'll catch you next time. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week. And in the meantime...
Keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.